We were able to get actual footage with a guy who snuck in there with his phone and recorded the rituals, John. We got it on tape, man. This is not a joke. It's not a game. This is really what's going on.
So, Pastor Billy, you mentioned, we just talked about within the church, but earlier you mentioned that it's all throughout society. It's permeated through society. And I know from the videos that I've watched, you were doing a deep dive into Freemasons and explaining the influence that they have all throughout our society. And honestly, it's something I've been interested in, but I didn't even know where to begin. So your sermon was great about that. And I know I'll probably just put links to that, but give us, kind of help us understand, what are the Freemasons and why are they such an influential thing, but behind the scenes at the same time?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great question. Well, first of all, if you've seen anything on YouTube, learn to get off of YouTube, at least with our studies, because we have so many that have been deleted, hacked, and banned. If you ever want to get everything that we do, all the stuff that you're missing, that they don't want you to see, that's our teaching website, getalifemedia.com. But basically the Freemasonry study, I did a 10-part study on that. And I didn't plan on this. It's just the way it worked out. Go figure. That was the capstone of an occult study I've been working on for several years. I did 20 weeks on witchcraft, 16 weeks on Satanism, 30 weeks on what I called voodoo, vampires, and the rise of demon worship. And so basically it ended up being 66 studies on 6 books. Go figure. Okay. So then I went from that occult study into occult societies, with Freemasonry being the first one. And that ended up being a 10-part study. You can get a book, DVDs, or you can just watch it on our website or download our app. So, but basically, that one, again, I was surprised. You're right. A lot of people, even Christians, have heard of Freemasonry, but that's about all it's gone. And almost everybody has a story where, like, yeah, my grandfather, my uncle, or my dad, or family member, this, or used to be in it, or still is in it, or whatever, and they just think it's a good old boys club. No, it's not. It's an occult secret society, and this is what we expel. And part of it too is it's not just in the world; it's in the church. And I bring up examples again of not just experiencing occult behavior in the church, but Freemasonry. In fact, this was my very first senior pastorate and my very first encounter with Freemasonry. And what it was, I was 4 weeks in, and I was just doing a basic polemic study at that time on Sunday on the uniqueness of Christ and the cross, right? As opposed to other religions on the planet, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, even, Jehovah's Witnesses, some of the pseudo-Christian cults. And, nothing really deep dive, just showing the uniqueness that Christianity is unique. Right? All other religions say that you are God, you got to become God, you got to work your way to God. None of them have a cross, right? Christianity is unique. I kid you not. So I get done with that sermon, and the next thing you know, I get a phone call from one of the pillars of the church, their wives, and said that, quote, he, so-and-so, was upset with what I preached on. I says, well, why? What was unbiblical about it? And went on and on and said, well, I think you just need to meet with him. So I drove out to his house, and he was a big guy. And he looked down on me the whole time, and he's like a 6'6" big old dude, and he said, well, I don't think you should be talking about other religions like that. I said, well, why not? Well, I just don't think it's right. You shouldn't do that. I said, well, wait a second. If in fact Jesus is the only way, I didn't say he did. John 14:6, he's the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That means every other path out there is a false path, and it's not a small issue. It's not just, oh, they didn't make it to heaven. No, the Bible's clear. If you don't go through Jesus, you go to hell. So how am I a loving Christian, Mr. So-and-so, if I don't tell people that all other paths are false that will lead you to hell, and if I don't share them the good news that it is through Jesus Christ, and you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven through him? And he just went round and round. Of course, I'm dealing with it biblically, right? And he went round and round. And so he was getting nowhere. And so I kid you not, John, he looked down at me and he said, and he pointed his finger in my face. He says, listen, I've seen a lot of you come and a lot of you go. Turns out the guy's a Freemason in the church. I don't think he was the only one. And a pillar in the church, basically running the church behind the scenes. And the reason why he rejected that is because this is one of the many, many false, unbiblical teachings of Freemasonry that people need to wake up to. They believe in a pluralistic deity. They believe in universalism, that all paths will eventually get you. They don't call it heaven. They call it the Grand Lodge in the sky. It's a works-based false gospel. No different than trying to earn your way to heaven as a Mormon or Jehovah's Witnesses or all those other classic ones that we say, oh, yeah, that's obviously works-based false gospel. Freemasonry is the same way, that you have to be a good Mason. You have to follow the teachings of Masonry and do good things. All these guys, you think about Shriner hospitals and all that stuff. You think, oh, these are so altruistic. No, they're doing that because they believe they have to do these good deeds in order to get to the Grand Lodge above. And then speaking of Shriners, see, there's many different branches of Freemasonry, just like, and I use this loosely, just like there's many different denominations of Christianity, there's many different branches of Freemasonry, right? You got your Scottish Rite, and these are just the ones in America. You got your York Rite, which eventually you can get into the Knights Templar. And then you got your Prince Hall, that's for the Black African community, Freemasonry. You got Ladies Freemasonry, Youth Freemasonry, but you also have the Shriners. And the Shriners, the interesting thing about Shriners is at one point as a Shriner, you have to, and this is in print, it's on video, it's not a conspiracy theory, you have to pledge obedience and allegiance to the God of Islam, Allah, and Muhammad as your prophet. That's why they wear those red hats called a fez. The fez, if you notice, has what on the front? Islamic swords or crescent. It's Islamic symbols. And the reason why they're red and they're called a fez is because that was symbolic of a victory of the Muslims slaughtering Christians in Fez, Morocco, and they dipped their hats in the Christians' blood. How can you be a Christian and be a part of something like this is beyond me. But this is what we expose. I'll give you another one. A lot of people say, they try to give people a benefit of the doubt. Well, yeah, I get it. When you get up into the different degrees, you know, upwards to the, you know, want to make it to the 32nd, 33rd degree, up to the very top, that's when they drop the bomb on you that the spirit they're really worshiping is Lucifer. No, you find out a lot earlier than that. That's misnomer number one. But people say, well, they just went through the first 3 degrees. And they just thought, you know, this is a good old boys club. They do good works for the community. And they, the way they suck people in is they will say, hey, man, you come, you know, and you got to be invited. They'll tap you on the shoulder, including in a church service, and say, hey, would you like to come to the lodge? And so, but then they say, you know, we'll help you with your business. We'll help you with this or that or whatever. And they do. And so people think, oh, it's just a good old boys club. It's good for business and whatever. But people say, well, they only went through the first 3 degrees. They don't know about all this other Luciferian stuff that's going on. That's not true. That's a huge misnomer. I couldn't wait to expose that one. Because in the first 3 degrees that you have to take, and this is their words, not mine, bloody oaths, right? And let's just deal with the first degree. We haven't even got to the third one. The third one's what's called a master mason, right? But this is the entered apprentice. So you're just starting out. You tell me, John, if you're a Christian, a true born-again Christian and dwell with the Holy Spirit, that at some point, the Holy Spirit's not going to be screaming at you to run, right? So here it is. You get into the lodge, and the first thing they do is they blindfold you. It's called a hoodwink, as in you get hoodwinked. That's where we get that term from. It's a Freemason term. So they blindfold you, and part of that is because you have to acknowledge that everything that you've known in life so far is darkness. And now you're coming into the light, the truth of Freemasonry. Well, wait a second. How can I profess that as a Christian? I've got the light of Jesus Christ. How can I walk away from that and say that that's darkness? You would think the Holy Spirit would cause you to run at that point. Oh, you're just getting started. Then you got to take a shirt off. Okay, that's weird. And then you got to bow before an altar. Okay, before a guy called the Worshipful Master. Excuse me? I don't bow before anybody than the one and only Master, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. So what are you doing bowing before a man? Then here comes your bloody oath. And you are bowing before this worshipful Master, before an altar. They have typically a sword at your chest. And you vow that you will never reveal the secrets of Freemasonry and what you are about to be taught and initiated into under the penalty of, and you have to walk it through with them, with your thumb, throat to throat, that you can cut my throat from ear to ear, cut out my tongue, and disembowel me. Goodness. And you're supposed to be a Christian? John, that's just the first degree. Oh, yeah, we haven't made it to 33 or none of that stuff that you learn along the way. In the seventh degree, you learn that they worship a plural god called Jabulon, right? Which includes Baal and the Egyptian god Osiris. Oh, when you get to the 17th degree, then they say, we've got the secret password to get you into eternity. I'm not making this up. You know what it is? I'll tell you the secret. The secret password is Abaddon. Wait a second. Abaddon? That's the name that you see of the destroyer that came out of the Abusas, the pit of hell, that's unleashed on the planet in the seven-year tribulation. And so that's the name that's going to get me to the Grand Lodge above. I got to say Abaddon. And no, and you know what the sad thing is, John, for every person who thinks that when they die and then they're going to say the word Abaddon, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to heaven. You will see the destroyer. You know, it's just, and John, on and on it goes. And this is not a conspiracy. And here's what's scary. I expect that from the world. I don't condone it, but that's what the enemy has been doing ever since the birth of Christianity, Acts chapter 2. Jesus Christ is the only way out of this mess. And so what has he been doing? Ever since then, he's inventing as many different false paths as he can, different religions, new religions, latest religion, right? And just to cloud the issue to hopefully get people off the one and only way out of this mess. Freemasonry is just another one. But I expect that from the world. They don't know better. They don't know Christ. They don't have the Bible. They're not born again. The Bible says that the mind of the unspiritual man cannot understand the spiritual things. I get that. John, what's alarming to me is this is in the church. And I share in this study over and over again, Freemasonry is allowed to do their rituals that are completely unbiblical in church services, to do their funerals in services. Much of the church board are Freemasons, including pastors and things of that nature. And I'm going, and John, we're just scraping the surface of what goes on in this occult secret society. How can you be a Christian and allow this to happen? And so my thing is this, if you got these guys in charge of your church, you need to rise up as a church, and I'll just be blunt, you need to fire them. They need to, and I tell people this all the time, if you're professing to be a Christian, you better repent, run, and get right with God. And if you refuse to leave, you're in a heap of trouble.
Yeah, Pastor Billy, I got to ask you, if people are sworn to secrecy under basically vow of cutting their throat, cutting off their tongue, and disemboweling them, how are you getting this information?
Well, part of it is the Freemasons who've been brave enough to come out. They get saved, and then they come out and expose it. And that's why we know. In fact, what's interesting was due to modern technology, because a lot of people say, oh, that's not what they do in there. The lodge that I went to, it's Christian because they had a Bible on that altar. First of all, just because they have a Bible doesn't mean they follow it. Second of all, oftentimes their Bible, for instance, the Oxford Freemason Bible, at the back end has all this Egyptian symbolism and stuff because that's what they merge in with their belief system. That's not our Bible. And then third, they're pluralistic. You can go in there one week and it might be the Christian Bible, but then other week it might be the Hindu Vedas or it might be the Quran. Because again, they believe that whatever path you choose, you just got to believe in a supreme being, right? It doesn't have to be the one of the Bible. So just because they have that, that doesn't mean anything. But the problem is you know, they go into there and they think that you know, it's just, you know, not really that big. You're exaggerating this. This is just you got this on wackyguy.org or conspiracyguy.com. You know, no, modern technology. We were able to get actual footage with a guy who snuck in there with his phone and recorded the rituals, John. We got it on tape, man. This is not a joke. It's not a game. This is really what's going on. And so it's basically Freemasons who've come out. Most of them got saved, praise God, but they're revealing to people what is really going on behind closed doors. And the reason why they get away with it is twofold. Number one, hello, it's a secret society. By definition, secret. So they're not touting it from the horns. So we only can rely upon those that can sneak in and get it back to us or those that were a part of it and got saved and come out and spill the beans.
There's a lot of questions I have on that. And I know we can spend a lot of time debating this, but what influence do they have in society, or not debating it? I don't want to debate anything like that. I just want to learn more about it. But what influence does this have in society as a whole? I know Washington, D.C. is filled with symbology of that. And what do we as Christians do about this?
Well, great question. That's how we actually ended our study on the last three studies. We dealt with, all right, where are these guys at? And how are they getting away with this? And so I just broke it down into many different categories. You got Freemasonry throughout Hollywood, right? Probably one of the best advertisements that they've had to recruit people in a long time was the National Treasure series. Huge. Disney just did a reboot with that with a modern millennial version, right? But it just encourages people to, oh, this is a cool eclectic society. No. And so Hollywood's in it. Music industry is in it. We expose that. And especially because we had two studies just on the symbolism in Freemasonry, explaining what those symbols mean. And then when you see what symbols are in Freemasonry, you see them everywhere. Hollywood, the music industry, the whole nine yards. They tell you who they're working for. But I got into the politics, past presidents of our country, indisputable, full on Freemasonry. And again, the danger with this is you're talking about people that were also on our Supreme Courts, judges and things of that nature. And John, you got to keep in mind that, again, when a person becomes a Freemason, they pledge their allegiance, number one, solely to Freemasonry. And that means it comes first. And you pledge yourself to, quote, protecting the brotherhood, other Freemasons. And this goes back to their secret hand signals, hand signs, hand in the vest, stand square, the particular stances and things, secret handshakes on the knuckle and all that stuff. It's not a conspiracy theory. This is how they identify themselves out in public in secret, because this is a secret society. So I'll give you a case in point. We demonstrated this still goes on. Have you ever wondered, you know, you got some people that do these dirty deeds, these horrible crimes, and you're going, that guy's going, he's going upriver for a long time. Next thing you know, he gets off the hook. What's going on there? John, this is how the system works. Freemasonry, their beliefs is supersedes everything, including the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the law of the land. So give you a case in point. If you had a Freemason judge, and then you are a Freemason who's been brought to court, you don't have to say a word. You give them the sign, you give them the distress signal, the way that you stand, right? And then he is bound by the bloody oaths of Freemasonry. He has to do everything in his power to let that brother go. This is the danger of this stuff. So our laws and our country think they're being perverted with these guys. Plus, their agenda is not God's agenda. Their agenda is not what our founding fathers had with the biblical Judeo-Christian ethic and things of that nature. So there's a conflict that's going on. But again, we expose how they've wormed their way in even into the military and things of that nature. And I already mentioned women's groups, youth groups, whatever. But they're all over. And so the biggest thing is how can – and you're like, well, what do we do? Well, we get the truth out. Right? As Paul says, it's referring to the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news, right? How can they know unless somebody tells them? Well, how can people know what they're up against, right, in order to fight this battle if you don't even know you're in the battle first place? And second of all, okay, well, who am I battling against? Okay, and then third, where are they at? And so it's the truth, John. We get the truth out. We expose the dirty deeds of darkness, right? And so that people could wake up and go like, oh, I had no clue that's what Freemasonry is, teaches, how antithetical it is to everything as a Christian. Whoa, I didn't know that it was not just on the outside. Now I can see it's on the inside of the church, so you can clean the church up, number one. Number two, then it's on the outside. Oh, then we need to clean up what's going on in our country. And that's how you do it. John, there's more of us than there is them, but they get away with it because people, again, back to the beginning, they don't want to study the whole of the Bible. Now, you say that as a Christian because you're supposed to say that. That sounds spiritual, right? You don't say, hey, I'm only going to study what I want to hear, right? Which actually is a Bible prophecy sign. Real quick, Paul told Timothy, he says, how do you know in your last days? Hey, don't just look at Matthew 24. Jesus said, you're going to see false Christs, false prophets, false teachers, wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, increase of all that stuff, earthquakes. And we're seeing that. Paul says, watch this. When you see this in the church in the last days, he said the church is going to gather around themselves a plethora. It's just, in the Greek, it's a pile of teachers who will tickle their ears, and they'll turn away from the truth, and they'll turn aside to myths. And I'm going like, tickle ears, what's that? So I looked it up in the Greek way back, and it's kinetho, and it means to desire only that which is pleasant. And muthos is where we get the word myth, or like stories made up. So basically Paul says, yeah, look in the world when you see wars, rumors of war, Jesus saying this, famines, pestilence, increase. That's a sign you're in the last days. But Paul says, now, don't just look at the world, look at the church. And when you see in the church, basically all you get is pleasant things and stories made up, you're in the last days. So this is what's going on. The people don't, they're being duped. They're not being taught the whole counsel of God. So they don't even know what to look for. What do? You preach the truth, right? And it's the same, this is the light, John, right? And you want to get rid of the darkness? You bring on the light. You teach the truth, which is the light of Christ. And then each individual Christian goes and shares the light of that truth. That's how you dispel darkness. You go into a dark room. It's a dark room. Well, oh no, I'm just going to sit there and go like, I can't get rid of this. I'm clueless. I have no idea what do I do? Go turn the light on. And you don't just turn the light on. As soon as you turn the light on, what happens to the darkness?
It goes away.
It goes away. That's what we need to get back to as Christians, to preach the whole counsel of God, get Christians equipped on the light of Jesus Christ, get out there and be the salt and the light. Okay. And then we would see all this darkness flee that fast. That's it. I'm not trying to oversimplify, but John, that's the answer right there. You expose it with the light of the truth of God's word, and instantly the darkness flees.
Wow. Pastor Billy, would you pray for the people that have been watching this and they're like, I need to do something based on what Pastor Billy has said, and just help them, just pray for them to have discernment to turn that light on.
Yeah. Father, we just thank you so much for our time today. And we thank you most importantly for Jesus. Thank you for saving us through him, giving us the gift of eternal life through him. And God, if there's anybody that's tuning in that's not truly born again, maybe they're going to a church service, but that doesn't save you. Or maybe they were like me, would never step foot in a church service, but they're interested and they want to know the truth. And maybe you're tugging at their heart. God, would you cause them to be obedient and be blessed, even right where they're at, God, right now, that they would cry out to you, Jesus, and ask you to forgive them their sins. You tell us that you are holy, that we are not. But the good news is through Jesus Christ, we can be saved and forgiven completely of all of our sins and made into a new creation in you. God, would you please draw them to you? May that take place even now. And God, for we, your church, those of us that are born again, maybe we've been one of those lackadaisical Christians. Maybe we were the ones that only wanted our ears tickled, but we're starting to be convicted to realize, no, we need to know all the truth. And the problem isn't with the darkness encroaching. The problem is with us not declaring your light. So God, raise us up in these last days as a mighty equipped army in the light of your truth, that we would work together as your people and dispel back the darkness until you come home and get us. That's how we need to finish. Finish strong, not fearful. Finish faithful as the bride of Christ until that glorious day, which could happen very soon when we get to go be with you forever. But God, please do a great work. It's not by chance that people are watching and listening. And so God, please bear much fruit, which we know is your will. We ask all this in your powerful name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Billy Crone, I know that we're going to have to do more discussions with you about spiritual warfare, about the demonic in society, and I see a book behind you about aliens even, so there's more that we can talk about, but I just appreciate you taking this time today to do what we've done so far, so thank you so much for being here on Charisma.
Yeah, hey, anytime, John. Thank you for having me.